On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's basketball prepares for their biggest game of the year, men's basketball continues to show fight, and the athletic department unveils a game-changing project. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 130 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I wish I had like some extra intro music. I wish I had like an executive producer who knew a lot more shit about podcasting and sounds and effects than I did, because it would be so sick to have the Super Bowl intro for this one. Like, dun 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 dun. Gamecocks. Something like that. I don't know. I'm just really excited for the weekend. You got the Super Bowl weekend. Arguably, you have the Super Bowl of the women's basketball season. I'm going to get into more of that in a bit. But no matter what you have planned, you can look forward to a fantastic weekend of sports. And on Sunday, you're probably going to eat too many chicken wings. You're probably going to have a little bit too much to drink. To hell with Monday. And you're probably going to, you know, have some sweets and other things. And overall, just be gluttonous and lazy. And that's all good. That's what Super Bowl Sunday is for. Just make sure to, you know, take a Tums or whatnot. You know, a little antacid. I'm showing my age here. This is what y'all got to look forward to. Nevertheless, here, going to spend most of this episode talking about the basketball programs, but as always, I do have a week in review. But before that, a quick update for scheduling of the podcast. We'll have my normal Monday episode that will be recapping all of the games from the weekend, but then I will have a special baseball season preview on Wednesday. I collaborated with Evan from Tito's and Chicken, if y'all are familiar with him and his podcast, but we collaborated and basically went over a high level, what do you need to know going into this baseball season with opening day next Friday, this upcoming Friday, rather. It's just, it's crazy. So it's going to be next week is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. A lot of content, a lot of episodes, but so just as a heads up, Wednesday will be a official baseball season preview. Which brings me to my week in review from around USC Athletics. Funny enough, there are no scores to report on outside of the major sports, but there really is a ton of action this weekend, so I will have a lot to report on next episode with scores and whatnot, tennis, track, all that jazz. So be ready for that. But the big news from the week actually came from the university and Ray Tanner and the athletic department itself, as they all have officially introduced what they have called a quote-unquote game-changer development project around Williams-Brice and Colonial Life Arena. So I'm sure you've seen a lot about it. There's been articles and email blasts and videos and everything like that. But to bring y'all up to speed, essentially, the university owns like a crap ton of land near Williams-Brice, alongside the river there, but then near the practice facility as well. It's like hundreds of acres, which was shocking, but yeah, hundreds of acres. And then they also own some land near Colonial Life, which is parking lots, things like that, right? So what the university has said is that they are in the initial steps of selecting a partner to develop that land. And what's so cool about it is that it's university owned. So they're not buying this, they're not taking on more debt, and the idea is to bring some commerce and some life and some more energy in that land around Williams-Brice Stadium, and then in turn take some of that money that they get from, I guess, the lease from the developers and use that to renovate Williams-Brice and anything in and around it. So it's sort of a win-win. Win-win-win, because Columbia, for being the state capital, it has so much potential. I mean, I love Columbia. I lived there for, you know, years, obviously, with going to school, but there were some summers where I stayed, and it's a very fun city. And it's a city that has a couple of distinct hospitality districts. You have Five Points, the Vista, Main Street, and then you have Williams-Brice, which is as fun of an atmosphere on game day as you'll ever find, with all that goes on around it, with the tailgating and some of the vendors that come in, and then the great job that they did with Gamecock Park and everything. But for the majority of the year, there's just not a whole lot going on. And it would be really fun to have something like you see, you know, the Battery in Atlanta or in New England around their stadium. You're seeing these teams building shops, restaurants, parks around their stadium. So I think it's going to be fantastic to be able to go down there year-round, go get something to eat, do some shopping, rumors of maybe a Top Golf. Like, it'll be so fun, and just the game day experience will be electric because you can do so much more. It'd be awesome if they could incorporate Gamecock Athletics into this plan. Maybe have like a Gamecock Legends Park or something like that, where you can have plaques of Gamecock greats, things like that. But it's super exciting. It's in very early stages. Like, it could be a long, long time before we see shovels in the ground, let alone buildings coming up. But that was big news out of the athletic department. So stay tuned, and maybe in 2 years we get to get a final update. Yay! Moving on to scores and games that have been played, starting with men's basketball. Tuesday night, the team was out in Missouri, unfortunately lost to Mizzou 83-74. And it's funny, headlines were already made before this game even tipped off, because it came out when they announced the starting lineups that GG Jackson was starting on the bench. Now, this is in no doubt because of what we talked about last episode, where after the close game and a little frustration, he went on Instagram Live and he voiced his frustrations with the last play, not getting the ball a lot, not getting plays drawn for him and things like that. And all this was Lamont Paris teaching him a lesson. And I'm totally okay with it. You have to grow. You have to be taught lessons in life, and this is one of them. And he's a star player. He needs to know that he's got that platform and he has eyes on him, and it's just a teaching moment, right? He wasn't suspended. He played in the game. He just didn't start. So it's Lamont saying, hey, man, take it easy, right? Like, watch yourself in the future, and, you know, actions have consequences. But back to this game, this was just yet another case where you actually might be seeing small steps forward in this program, because once again, South Carolina was competitive with a very solid SEC team, but yet coming up just short, which it's funny that we have to rationalize it like this, right? Like, that's a pleasant change. Like, a 9-point loss? Sure, I'll take that, as opposed to the 14, 15, 30-point blowouts that felt all too common not that long ago. Basically, South Carolina was jostling with Mizzou. They were within single digits for a large chunk of the game, but it was turnovers and missed free throws that were just really the demise of this squad. And then in the second half, Mizzou was able to go on a pretty big run and just never looked back. South Carolina had 14 turnovers, just brutal. And yeah, I mean, I'm proud that this team seems to be clicking a little bit better and has been competitive these last few games. It'd be nice if that's a theme for these last several games, but it also would be a hell of a lot nicer to get over that hump. Some player highlights for y'all here. G.G. Jackson had 23 points off the bench. My goodness. Hayden Brown with 19 points and 6 rebounds. Jacoby Wright with 11 points. And then Josh Gray, 9 points and 7 rebounds as his strong last few games continues. Next game for the men is Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. against Ole Miss in Oxford. Ole Miss is 10-14 overall and 2-9 in the SEC. Last time these two teams met, you may remember South Carolina was on the wrong side of it. Ole Miss getting the victory 70-58. And in that game, it was really a matter of Ole Miss had their offense flowing, right? They like to run in transition. They like to hit shots. They are a pretty high shooting percentage team. And then you also had the Gamecocks failing to make adjustments against changing defenses in that second half as well. Ole Miss is not very good. Like, they have played some better teams. They're 2-9 in the league. So for this go around, right, round two, my crows to the game are first, like, don't let what happened last time happen again. This team needs to be prepared to slow down the Rebels, especially in transition, and you need to have tight perimeter defense. My second crow to the game, which feels great to have, because this basketball season has been largely just one crow, like, just try your hardest to win, but that's one, right? You have the proof of the pudding last game. Here's how they beat you. Try to stop it. Next, I'm asking for a big Josh Gray game. Need Josh Gray to step up in this game because he has been the constant theme that when South Carolina looks good in the SEC, he has had a good game. So let him control the post. GG can drive in as well, do his thing down there as well, but he does like to shoot it. But if we can get some other outside shots, right, from guy like Michi Johnson, Hayden Brown, and Gray brings that up with, say, a double-double, I mean, I like our chances. Ole Miss has only won one more game in the SEC than Carolina. Their overall record is not that much better than ours either. I know it's in their place. I know that there is, like, no reason to think that we'll see anything different. But this team has been playing better as of late. They tend to play better on the road, which is crazy. And I just got to believe. I think I've just won one more game in the SEC. They're not the Warriors. Like, so let's go out there and let's go fight and get a W. Go Cox. Which brings me to women's basketball. Now, as I am recording this, the team is playing Auburn. So as we always do when recording during a game, sending nothing but good vibes, good energy. But the real story and excitement from this team is their matchup this Sunday at home against LSU, which is the perfect appetizer for the Super Bowl. You might as well just start eating and drinking for this game, right? I have been looking forward to this game for weeks. I honestly have. LSU is currently ranked number 3 and is undefeated. Technically speaking, LSU is a half game ahead of South Carolina in the SEC standings. Now, to bring y'all up to speed if you don't know, LSU has made a big effort to improve their women's basketball program over the last couple of years. It started with the hiring of Kim Mulkey, who, I have said it on this show before, I'll say it again, I just don't get good vibes. I'm sure she's a lovely woman. I just don't get good vibes from Kim, right? She just doesn't seem nice, right? Dawn Staley's someone you want to hang out with, right? Kick it with. Kim just doesn't give off those vibes, right? So not going to go too much into that, but nevertheless, LSU has made an effort in recruiting. They've put some resources behind this program. So this is a program on the rise. But I mean, this is it, y'all. This is why we do it. This is the biggest game left on the schedule in the regular season. These two teams have been on a collision course all year and very well might end up seeing each other in both the SEC tournament and then later on in the NCAA tournament. And there is no denying that LSU has a good squad. LSU, I'm going to start calling them. They are led by Angel Reese, who has really come into her own. She leads their team in points, rebounds, steals, and blocks. So to say that she is their most important player is the understatement of the season. She plays forward for LSU, so it's going to be a big task for Aaliyah, Victoria, and Camilla in the post. Now, if you peel back the first layer of LSU's record, though, and you look at their schedule, you'll notice a glaring difference between their schedule and USC's. And that glaring difference is that the Tigers have really not played anyone of consequence outside of the SEC. There is no Stanford, Maryland, UCLA, or UConn, which are all ranked teams, by the way, all of whom played South Carolina and lost. So simply put, I feel South Carolina is just more battle-tested and has been prepared for these types of matchups and these types of environments. My goodness, Colonial Life is going to be rocking, packed. This game will say a lot for both of these programs as the regular season is nearing to a close, right? Both have very lofty goals, but I think this is a game where you'll see how your team responds. You'll see who responds, how they do it. For the coaches, they're two very experienced national championship winning coaches. So it's going to be a chess match. How do you manage that? It's a great prep up for these tournament games that are right around the corner. And, you know, y'all, I mean, I feel very confident in South Carolina, not just because this game is at home, but because this is a mature team that not only has been through tough tests this year, but they've had to find different ways to win this year. And you've seen versions of this team which are scrappy, just clawing their way to victory, fighting their way back at times. And that's what this might take, right? But also, you can't forget that the core of this team is very experienced, savvy in these types of games. They've been deep tournament runs before. And they're also coming off of a very tough road test against UConn, mind you. But I am going to put out the emotional hedge. So, you know, if things don't go South Carolina's way on Sunday, don't take your focus off of the big picture this year. And what I mean by that is we have much bigger goals than one game. And yes, you play to win every game. Shout out Herm Edwards. But this is just me emotional hedging, right? Like this is me like kind of putting my little guard up, but to not get too let down if something doesn't go right. But like, would you rather beat LSU in this game in February or win the national championship? I'd rather win a national championship. I'd like to do it all. I'd like to win this game, win the SEC, and then win a national championship. But the point is, if LSU is able to find a way to get on the right side of this, don't get too down, because we're going to win it when it counts. And Dawn has been fantastic at finding, and if there's a weakness in a team, seeing it and correcting it. But it's going to be a great game. And like I said, I am very, very confident. That's just me putting a little wall up, emotional wall here. Now, my crow to the game is slow down Angel Reese. I mean, just simply make her life hell once the game tips off. Our bigs are taller than her. They're not afraid to get physical. We have a ton of other players who are not afraid to get their hands dirty and rotate, even if they're undersized. And basically, Dawn just can't let this be a game where Angel Reese beats you. Which brings me to my three-point play, and then I'll get y'all out of here. Real quick here, Marquette over Georgetown, Creighton over UConn, and then UNC over Clemson because screw them. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.